The scripture reading today will be from Acts chapter 20, verses 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood.
Good morning. This morning is a banner day for us, a big day in the history of this congregation. So if you're one of our guests this morning, I'd like to welcome you to the friendliest church that you could have come to on this momentous occasion. For today is important to us regarding the fact that we are appointing two additional men to serve as elders, to serve on the leadership team of this congregation. Now, this isn't merely an organizational change that we're going through here. It's a spiritual milestone. It's evidence that these men have grown in their faith, their families have been influenced for good, and the congregation is seeking to follow the pattern that God has revealed for us in his word. Today's lesson is entitled, A Church Blessed with Elders. So, the word elder, let me just do a little something here at the very beginning, get it out of the way. There are three words that are used for the function of the men in this particular office. One of those words is the word for elder, which means he's called that because of his wisdom, his Bible knowledge, and those things are important for the elder. But there's also another word for them that is generally translated for us, a pastor or a shepherd. This talks about the man's love for his people and the compassion that he has for all of God's people and all the works. And then there's a third word that is sometimes used, and that is the word that is generally translated bishop or overseer. This speaks of a man's leadership qualities, the qualities he has to guide and to lead congregations. All three of these words and all three of these functions are wrapped up in each of these men. So it is, as Paul would say in 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1, if any man aspires to the office of an overseer, notice it's a office within the church, but then he goes on to say, it's a fine work he desires to do, for this truly is a work. So let's begin by looking at the importance of elders. Oh, strap yourself in, because we're going to be covering a lot of ground today, so write fast. First off, elders are part of God's plan for his church. On his second missionary journey, Paul with Silas with him, it says in Acts chapter 14 and verse 23, when they had appointed elders for them in every church, having prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Notice it was in every congregation, this is the way things were done. In fact, Paul, when he was writing to a preacher on the island of Crete, the preacher's name is Titus. In that letter, in chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul wrote and said, for this reason, I left you in Crete in order that you might set in order what remains and appoint elders in every church as I directed you. Notice a congregation, if it doesn't have elders, then it is incomplete. It's not structured yet the way that God desires for his congregations, his church to be structured. A congregation, however, with qualified elders is following the wisdom and the pattern of God. Elders help bring spiritual order, direction, and stability to a congregation. The second reason why elders are important is that they provide spiritual leadership. Every congregation of the Lord's people needs direction. Elders guide the congregation through several means. It's their sound judgment, their biblical teaching, their prayerful decisions, and their faithful examples. In Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 7, the writer says, remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, and considering the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. Biblical leadership is not built upon a man's power or personality or position. It's built upon his faithfulness to God. The church belongs to Christ. The Bible provides the course, and elders keep the congregation remaining faithful to that course. So, they're part of God's plan. They provide spiritual leadership. And thirdly, They provide stability during changing times. The world around us is constantly changing. Culture is changing. Circumstances are changing. Challenges change. However, the truth of God does not change. Elders help the church remain steady in our doctrine, united in our purpose, wise in judgment, and focused on Christ. Paul teaches that spiritual leadership will stabilize our faith. He says to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 14, "As a result, we are no longer to be tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine." Like the guy in the screen behind me, you see, trying to keep that boat afloat. That's what elders are constantly trying to do, because there's so many things that are crosswinds that are trying to hit the Lord's church from time to time. So, qualified elders, therefore, are a great blessing because they help the congregation to move forward without drifting away from the truth. They help us to grow, all while remaining grounded in the faith. The fourth thing about elders that make them important is elders demonstrate that spiritual growth is possible. Spiritual growth is possible. No elder began his Christian life as an elder. He first had to become a faithful disciple, and over time, he developed Christian character, knowledge of the scriptures, a godly home, a good reputation, a heart for people. The qualifications that God has given to us for elders are found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and in Titus chapter 1. These are qualifications that God has ordained. The person who wants to be an elder, that's part of his job description. He needs to meet each and every single one of those qualifications. A man who meets almost all of them, but he doesn't really have one of them, he's disqualified. He's not qualified to serve. But a man who has all the qualifications that Paul mentions, that man is a candidate to serve in the Lord's church as one of their elders. The appointment reminds us that spiritual maturity is not only desirable, it's possible. It's possible for men to grow into all those qualifications that we read there. Young men should, in this congregation, should look to our elders and say, with God's help, I want to grow into that kind of a Christian man. I want to become more like him. That's what I want. Families should see years of faithfulness can produce fruit that blesses an entire congregation. So yes, for all these reasons, God's plan, spiritual leadership, stability in changing times, and spiritual growth, for all those regions, scripturally qualified elders are very important to the church. So now, that being the case, what do elders owe the church? You know, for Ben and for Joey, their lives is going to be new because there's some things that they're going to owe the congregation. So what are those things? Well, let me give you four of them. Five. Elders owe the church a godly example. In 1 Peter chapter 5, Peter begins that chapter by saying, "I, Peter, an apostle and fellow elder." So Peter was an apostle of our Lord, but he also had the responsibility of an elder for the churches that he was writing to. He tells the elders there in those congregations, "Shepherd the flock of God amongst you, exercising oversight, but not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to their charge, but proving to be examples to the flock." So these men lead by the words that they say and also by the lives that they live. You can already see this sounds like living in a glass house, and it is, because these men, they're going to be in the public eye, or at least this congregation's eye, all the time. And so, yes, there is a great pressure upon them to be the men God has called for them to be. Secondly, the elders owe the church loving shepherding. I just like this picture, so that's why I put that up there, but I think that's so cute. Anyhow, the church is described as a flock. a good shepherd. He knows the sheep. He feeds the sheep. He protects the sheep. He searches for those sheep that are wandering off. He helps the weak, and he leads the flock forwards. As Paul told the Ephesian elders, as Matthew just got through reading a few moments ago in Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, Paul wrote to them and said, "Be on guard for yourselves and for the whole flock, over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which he purchased with his own blood." So good elders do not merely see attendance numbers. They see souls, they see families, they see struggles, they see opportunities, and they see people who are loved by their God. So yes, they owe us being loving shepherds. The elders also owe the church sound teaching. Titus was, when Paul wrote to him in Titus chapter 1 and verse 9, he says that these men need to be holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance to the teaching, so that he will be able both to exhort in sound doctrine. To exhort means to encourage. We need to be encouraged, but we need to be encouraged to be doing the right things. That's sound doctrine, sound teaching, so that we might do the things that are right. But not only must they know God's word so they can encourage us in that direction, but also so they'll be able to refute anyone who contradicts those that come up with strange doctrines or the teachings of men, things of that nature. Elders need to be able to say, "Hold on a minute there. This is what the Lord says. Not that, but this is what he says." So elders must know the truth, love the truth, teach the truth, and defend the truth. Paul, once again, I'll get to that one later. The church doesn't need leadership based on popular opinion. It needs leadership that's grounded in the scripture. Elders must ensure that Christ is preached, the gospel remains central, error is corrected, teachers are faithful, and the congregation is being spiritually fed. The authority of an elder does not come from his personality. It comes from his faithful use of the word of God. The elder stands under the authority of Christ, and therefore he leads the church according to what the scriptures teach. Same thing that we do. He doesn't have a different Bible than we do. He doesn't have more information than we have. He's got everything that we have, he has. That's one of the reasons why that the elders have given us several weeks to look over what the text says, to see that Ben and Joey, both of them meet the divinely ordained qualifications that God has established. Fourthly, elders owe the church watchful protection. In the verse just after the one that Matthew read a few minutes ago, and I quoted a few moments ago, in Acts chapter 20 and verse 29, Paul says, "I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in amongst you, not sparing the flock." Not sparing the flock. So elders must remain alert to the dangers to the congregation. Some dangers come from false teaching. Some dangers come from division, from discouragement and discouragers, worldliness, neglect, and unresolved conflict. Each and every single one of these things, many of you who've been in the Lord's church for a number of years, perhaps in a number of various congregations, you perhaps have seen how those different things there have a way of bringing division within the body of Christ. Strong elders will protect the church from that occurring. Elders must sometimes make difficult decisions, brethren. These decisions should be made, however, with prayer, patience, courage and compassion, and biblical conviction. You see, faithful elders need to be tender enough to comfort the hurting and courageous enough to confront whatever threatens God's people. So fifthly, elders owe the church prayerful leadership. Elders carry responsibilities that are not always visible to the congregation. And that's the way it should be. We should be able to go to our elders and know the things that we share with them in private are going to remain private. You know, it might be something to do with your children, maybe your marriage, maybe something else going on in your life. But We need to know that these are men that they will take our concerns. They will pray about them. They will pray with us for them. And so that we might be the people that God wants us to be. And they could be the elders that God has called for them to be. So in James chapter 5 and verse 14, it says this: Is any among you weak? That means spiritually weak. I'm in my class today, we're going to talk about this verse, so we'll come back to it. But is any among you spiritually weak? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. And if he has committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. So God has provided the church with elders so that we need never struggle with our sins alone. We always have people that we should be able to count on. Two verses later in James chapter 5 and verse 16, he says, Confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. You see, the church needs elders who do more than just meet together. We need elders who pray together. Before they lead the congregation publicly, they must seek God privately. And therefore, we should expect our elders to manifest many important leadership skills. So, we've seen what we owe the elders. We've seen what the elders owe us. Or we're going to see that now. What we owe to our elders. They have responsibility to the congregation, but the congregation, brethren, we also have responsibility to them as well. First off, the church owes its elders respect. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13, Paul writes and says, We request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. To esteem means to value them. These men have great value to this congregation because they have the power to lead us in directions that will bring glory to God, but they also have the power, but not the authority, to lead us in direction that will not glorify God. So yes, we need to give these men respect for the job that they're doing, for it is not an easy job. Elders should not be honored because they're perfect. They should be respected because of the work they have accepted. Their responsibilities are spiritual, personal, and often heavy. So, we should speak to our elders respectfully. Even when we disagree with them, we must express ourselves in a Christian manner. They deserve that. Second thing that we owe our elders is we owe our elders our cooperation. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 17, it says, Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Obey means to do what they say. That's on the outside. Submit talks about what's going on inside. I am not going to do that. I'm not going to do what he says. I don't want to do that at all. You know, it's kind of like the little Johnny who did something wrong and his father told him, Johnny, you come over here and sit down. I said, sit down. Johnny sits down. He says, I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm still standing up on the inside. Well, that's the way some people are. But we're called to obey our leaders and to submit to them. You know, a congregation can't move forward if every member insists on going in a different direction or at a different speed. It requires us to consider more than just our own personal desires and preferences. Because a rowing team can't make progress when everybody rows at a different speed or in a different direction. Perhaps we should lovingly and respectfully speak to our elders instead of saying, well, what are the elders going to do about this? Maybe we need to be the ones talking to them. Fourthly, the church owes its elders encouragement. Elders often hear about the problems that people are facing, for they are the ones who are called when somebody is hurting, angry, discouraged, divided, or in some sort of crisis. Because they frequently deal with difficulties like these, words of encouragement are highly valued by them. In Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 24, Solomon says, "Pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul, healing to the bones." A sincere word of encouragement, brethren, from any of us may strengthen our eldership more than you're aware. Fifthly, the church owes its elders prayer. Elders need wisdom. We all do. They need wisdom, however, for many of the things that they're doing and wanting to do. They need strength. They need patience. They need courage. They need discernment. They need compassion. Because you see, these men, besides dealing with the work of the church here, they have families. They have jobs. They have health concerns. They've got their own personal burdens. And so we need to be praying for these men. James says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "Is any among you lacks wisdom? Let him ask of God, who gives all men bountifully, generously, and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So we need to be praying for our elders, that they will remain close to God, that they will love one another, they'll make wise decisions, they'll stay faithful to Scripture, they'll shepherd with compassion, lead with courage, and finish with joy. The final thing that we owe our elders is willing participation. Elders are shepherds, but they're not expected to perform every single job that this congregation has going on. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, it talks about how God gave some as apostles and some as prophets. You can read their words in that book that's in front of you. He gave some as evangelists. That's one like me. I take the words of the apostles and prophets and I proclaim them to others, so they might be saved and they might be encouraged to grow. Then it also says they also have pastors and teachers. God gave some as pastors and teachers. These are the men who take those that have been evangelized and they help them to grow. As it says in verse 12, it says that their job is to equip the saints for the work of service. That's what the elder's job is, and my job also. Elders should not have to beg Christians to worship, to serve, to teach, to visit, to give, to encourage others. They shouldn't have to ask us to do those things. But one of the greatest gifts that a congregation can give to its elders is for us to be eager to serve. You know, when they say, "Here's a ministry that we're starting," bam, boy, I want to get started at the ground floor with something. I want to be a part of that. We should not merely ask, "What are the elders going to do?" What we should be asking is, "How can I help the elders fulfill the mission of this congregation?" So in a healthy congregation, the leader should expect members to be eager to serve with them. So today is a day of great gratitude, confidence, and hope. We're thankful for the men that have already served, those brothers that are already in that position, serving faithfully as elders. We're thankful also for these two men who have stepped up and who are ready to begin this work in their lives. We're thankful for their wives. We're thankful for their families. We should also make sacrifices, or will be making sacrifices in their time with their husband, who is oftentimes going to be at a meeting or making a visit, and when the family would rather have him home so they could be doing something. It's part of the sacrifice, and sisters, we're so proud of you when you're willing to make that. Most of all, we're thankful to Jesus, the chief shepherd of the church. You see, Peter tells us back in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, that when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive, you being the elders, will receive the unfading crown of glory. You see, the earthly shepherds serve under Jesus. But our elders, they do not own this church. Jesus does. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, Jesus said, "I will build my church." He didn't want to build a church for Martin Luther. He didn't want to build a church for John and Charles Wesley. He didn't want to build a church for anybody but himself. He built his church. Not only did he build his church, because the elders, they didn't purchase this church. Jesus did that too. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, it tells us the church which he purchased with his own blood. Also, the elders are not the head of this church. Once again, Jesus is the head of the church. In Colossians chapter 1, and in verse 18, it says, he is the head of the body, the church. But Jesus has graciously given qualified elders for the church so that we can be led, fed, protected, and taken care of. May our new elders begin their service with joy. May our present elders be strengthened with these new brothers. May our congregation be united, our community be reached, and may God be glorified through all that we do here at the Meadows. So by way of invitation, let me just say this. Before anyone can become a member of the Lord's flock, he must first come to the shepherd. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So if you're one of our guests today, are you listening to the words of Jesus? Do you want to be a member of his flock? Not some man's, but his. Well, do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? Are you willing to repent of your sins? Confess him as the Lord of your life? Are you willing to be baptized? In Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, it says, the one who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Not the one who has been baptized, not the one who only has believed. But putting those two things together, Jesus says, that's the one that I will save. That's the one I'll save. So, are you listening to the voice of Jesus? If that's the case, then we're going to be standing and singing a few moments, and we're going to be led in the song that Austin has chosen for us. And if today's the day that you want to be baptized into Christ, or if there's something else that you want to come to Jesus for whatever reason, you can come, have a seat on one of these front chairs right up here, and do that right now while together we all stand and encourage each other by singing.